Today is the 28th.
Of February.
Of February.
2020.
As we march into a new March.
We march into a new March, but first we have a leap day. You leap and then you march. it's pay close attention to the beginning of March's weather, because as my mother used to say, if March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, that's the way it works.
Wait.
If March comes in like a lion, it'll go out like a lamb.
Oh, okay. What if it comes in like a lamb?
Then it goes out like a lion.
What if it's just in between? It's just moderate.
Well, that would be considered like good weather, so.
Yeah. Is that a lamb?
Yeah, that would be lamb. That would be lamb. So, like, if it's warm and sunny
what
and nice.
What if it's...
Then it's lamb weather. Then it's going to be stormy and nasty.
It's raining, but it's not a storm. It's just a kind of a pleasant rain, and there's some sunshine.
I would say that's still bad weather. Because it's
you
almost never.
You can't just decide.
She's the decider.
Yeah, I am the decider on weird weather phrases that my family apparently are the only people who know.
No, I've heard that before.
Do you keep a spreadsheet of how many times you've been right versus the weatherman?
No, I don't. I should start doing that.
No, she just vilifies Chris Bailey at every opportunity.
You should follow him on Twitter sometime and see.
I don't follow people on Twitter. That's my gimmick.
You follow Level 1?
Nope.
Do you not?
Mm-mm.
Level 1 account follows you.
I never will.
Yep.
So, credit cards. When you use them, you leave behind a trail of data. And Google has it, if you use Gmail. And your credit card company has it. And your bank has it.
Google also has it because they buy it.
A lot of other people have it. So how exactly does that work? Well, Vice tells us.
Leaked documents show how big companies buy credit card data on millions of Americans. Literally every American with a credit card.
All of them.
Yeah. More than just the credit card company has the data, because that is hugely valuable. Hugely valuable.
Now, this is anonymized, but of course, anonymized. So they take out the personally identifying stuff, but the locations and the timestamps are still in there.
Yeah.
And we are creatures of habit. I go grocery shopping at the same time every Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you announce that? Someone from the chat's going to find you.
It's a great time to go. I found that Tuesday afternoons or evenings are the least busy time. Unfortunately, I think the grocery store is on those same statistics that I am, and they don't restock during that time.
Have you gotten any the fancy Polish donuts yet?
I got one package this year, but they were from the expired rack because that was all that was left, and they were terrible.
Yeah, I haven't had any yet.
All
the Easter donuts.
The moisture had leached out of the jelly so it was a soggy donut and like a thick paste.
Yeah, that's no good. Yeah.
But you know, Thursday, I don't know if it's this coming Thursday or this past Thursday, is the Punchki, like, Fat Thursday day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you're supposed to eat them all.
So we gotta stock some up.
I think they probably won't sell anymore after that.
Oh, no. No, they usually sell till Easter.
Oh, okay.
So we've got until, like, mid-April.
I saw that, off topic, Kroger is now selling their own version of those. I haven't tried them yet, though.
Oh, I don't go to Kroger very often.
Single-handedly, you guys have brought the statistics so high that the counterintelligence from the competing grocery chain is like, we need these.
There is nothing single-handed about it, because I've been at the Punchki table before and like old people were in there throwing elbows.
They're good.
Because no one wants lemon.
Lemon are okay,
and
but
no
raspberry's where it's at.
No one wants Bavarian.
Hmm.
Those are always left over. But if you can get in there and get those apples, oh Lord. So it's hotly contested.
About 30 seconds in the microwave, a nice hot apple.
So those are good, by the way, if you don't know. Polish donuts, Punchki. It's not spelled anything what it sounds like. It's just like all
we had
Polish
to look
words.
Up how to pronounce it.
So you have to Google it or something.
The word looks like it used to look right before my modem would hang up from line noise.
Yeah. Anyway, these credit cards, they might identify me by my Punchki records. But they do point out, you know, the security people they talk to here, it's like, this is nonsense. They're absolutely able to tie this into your other advertising profiles, and this should not be allowed. And they're probably right. But it's not going to stop. And when we get the central bank tokens, it's only going to get worse. Google has had some unfortunate headlines about the location tracking. You know those bank robberies and murders where they just subpoenaed everybody? Well, Google is maybe trying to get some good headlines where that comes, because they're making some changes.
Google to put a muzzle on Android apps accessing location data in the background. So they've got a screenshot. Scroll down a little bit, because the whole story is this picture. So these are the permissions now. Only this time while using the app, or deny. So you can allow an application to use your location only when you get the pop-up, which is pretty useful, I think. But this is a very, 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 very small concession on Google's part. It's still nowhere near the level of fidelity that we should have in terms of what permissions we grant an application to be able to, one, run continuously on the device, and two, use data from the device as part of its information gathering strategy.
Now, do you think official Google apps will be exempt from this?
Yeah, that you're not going to get a pop-up from those.
Yeah. So those are the ones that the cops get.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The one that makes me the most furious is Roomba. Insist on knowing my location or it won't run.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think it needs that. UCLA was one of a couple of colleges that announced they were going to use facial recognition on campus. And that was supposed to be to make the students more secure. As you can imagine, UCLA students weren't too happy about it.
UCLA has abandoned plans to use facial recognition after backlash. Let this be a lesson to other school administrators. If you try to experiment on your campus with racist, invasive surveillance technology, we will come for you, and we don't lose. That's neat.
Now,
that's like 4chan.
The
talk there in the caption.
The activist people who were fighting against this took group photos of all of the sports teams who are primarily people of color. And it came back with, do you remember how many false positives it was? It matched them up with felons.
Oh.
An unfortunate number of times. And they were like, they looked nothing alike. It was only the color of their skin that matched. So,
oops.
Maybe something to that whole racist AI thing in some situations. And that was embarrassing for UCLA, for sure. Microsoft, if you've ever looked at the list of domains that you have to block to turn off Microsoft telemetry, you know that Microsoft has a lot of subdomains. So many, in fact, they don't have any idea how many they have.
Spammers hijacking Microsoft subdomains to advertise poker, casinos, and many other subdomains have been vulnerable for years. So it turns out it was pretty easy to get a subdomain of Microsoft.com for all kinds of different problems. So here's portal.ch.microsoft.com. Wherever that was pointing is now advertising poker.
So these were all domains that Microsoft had at some point and used for projects that are now defunct, but DNS was not set up properly.
How many people do you think are like, well, I might as well play poker. The computer wants me to.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, if you have an antivirus software or something that's, you know, watching your URLs, Microsoft.com is always going to get through. So, we're going to get a lot of comments. It's like, well, it's a virus anyway.
Is it Windows Update or a poker ad? Yeah, it's a little bit roulette.
This is a good story.
We have, you know, the new gig economy and, you know, sharing and renting and, you know, no ownership. We don't need property rights. This is the Bernie Sanders generation. And one of the ways that they're sort of exploring that is with cars that you rent, but you don't have to go through the whole, like, oh, I'm going to go to the rental company and fill out paperwork and blah, blah, blah. Forget all that. Just get an app, go to where the last person left it, get in and start driving it. It's all yours. We'll do it all over the internet. Don't worry. But there's a downside.
Driver stranded after connected rental car can't call home. Tech reporter from The Guardian gets stuck in the boonies by the Internet of Things. This is a pretty terrible story. It was just like they were driving in California, so it wasn't like super rural. And
yeah, but this is a dirt road.
Yeah, I think this was a rural area, probably like near a park somewhere. But
and they called the rental car company, and they were like, maybe we'll send a tow truck. And they did it like 6 hours later, but by then they had already called another tow truck to tow the car to an area where it would have service.
That's awful.
Now, it turned out, even when they got to service, the car did not come back on because it was a software problem, and, of course, it needed to be rebooted.
Wow.
Your car needs to be rebooted.
Welcome, isn't that,
welcome to the future.
Isn't that terrifying? It's like, man, I should just keep my crappy old car forever.
Remember when...
Why is it designed like that?
Yeah.
Who was it that said something about, like, if the computing industry had gone the same way as the car industry or something, and then the car industry, their retort was, yeah, well, you don't have to restart your car every 5 hours because, you know, the crashes. Well,
we're reaching that point.
We've definitely had several stories about Internet of Things medical devices. Wow, what a terrible idea. Awful, awful idea. Now, these are not necessarily Internet of Things, but it turns out that a lot of medical devices are just running Windows, and they use RDP in order to interface with them. And when you think about, oh, I need to do Windows updates, you might think, hey, yeah, okay, we need to get these desktops, we got to get the nurses stations, but do you think about the MRI machine?
No.
Apparently you don't.
Cybersecurity warning, almost half of connected medical devices are vulnerable to hackers exploiting Bluekeep. New reports suggest that the vulnerabilities in medical devices could put hospitals and patients at risk from hackers, but there are some simple ways to protect against these hacks. Like, yeah, don't use old, outdated software, and don't use unupdated software. A lot of these devices have updates disabled specifically because they're, you know, critical infrastructure, like an MRI machine.
I was going to say, how annoying is that if you have, like, 30 MRI scheduled for a day?
Well, and you got to log on, and it's like, oh, we need to update Windows, and you literally can't use the machine because it already started applying the update without your permission, and nothing works.
Yeah.
But they also talked about some that were actively monitoring around the clock. So when do you wait for somebody to die and then do the update?
You do an update on another machine, roll it in there, and then switch machines and roll the other one out. It's the only option.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got money for that. MRIs are expensive.
Insurance will not pay for that. They're going to turn you down for that every single time. Or just bill the patient. Like, what is this $10,000 charge? Windows update. Well, we all know that ads, if you have ever run ads on a website, you know that Google is really, really serious about ad fraud. And they're really upfront. They're like, listen, bro, if we sense anything weird, we're shutting you down. And they make you click the little button. It's like, I understand this. So some really ingenious attackers, hacker people have figured out a way to exploit that.
Pay up or we'll make Google ban your ads. And so this is Krebs on Security. And it talks about a new way of holding publishers hostage. So these are this specific instance was like web publishers. Like you've got an online magazine and you run banner ads. And so they would be contacted by hackers and it's like, hey, we're going to make it so Google doesn't want to advertise on your site unless you pay us a ransom. And they did. Of course, Krebs on Security reached out to Google for comment. And they said, no, we've got a thing in place to try to prevent some of that. But it still seems like it was pretty effective.
It's a weird attack. Because it's the only attack that gives you a bunch of money.
Well, and then you don't get any money.
Yeah,
at all.
But initially.
The hacker giveth, the hacker taketh away.
That should have been the headline.
That's like that time in GTA 5 where like the guy was just had like the money cannon and it was like, oh, free money, and then Rockstar was like banned, and it's like, I was hit in the face with a money cannon. That wasn't my fault.
I was literally...
That's the joy of playing online.
I was teleported into a small corral with a cow on top of me and shot with money until I was banned.
It's not fair.
And Rockstar did not care at all.
Gotta sell those shark cards, man. WordPress is a terrible piece of software, and if you are using it, you should feel bad. But I don't have to count on you feeling bad. I know you're going to feel bad because eventually you're going to get hacked.
Bug in WordPress plugin can let hackers wipe up to 200,000 sites. The same bug can also let hackers gain access to the admin account. Yeah, hardly a week goes by and a vulnerability isn't reported. And this is what happens when you have non-programmers doing a lot of programmery things willy-nilly.
This is why we've reached a point in our business that we don't. If someone comes to us and they're like, hey, can you help me support my WordPress site? We're like, no.
We'll help you transition.
Yeah, but we're not, no.
So this was a theme site. And when you bought a theme from that site, it came with a plugin, all of them. There's no opting out. That would generate demo data for the theme to show you what that theme could do. And guess what? That's where the vulnerability is. So if you ever bought a theme from that site, let's see if we can quickly find the name of it just for public awareness. Theme Grill. Theme Grill is bad news. If you have a Theme Grill theme, you're screwed.
A WordPress site made out of paper mache and failed rubber bands? Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
We often talk about politicians and the worst people in the world. You know, they never let a crisis go to waste. And it seems that is also true of the malware community.
Hackers are using the coronavirus panic to spread malware. Hackers are posing as the CDC and public health organizations to get people to open virus-laden files. It's like, we're from the CDC. There's new procedures in your area. Click here to open. Oh, okay. We need your password. All right.
So they pretend that they're giving you a file that shows where the infections are and what you should do about it. And if you're old and out of touch and you open said file, the game's over.
And you don't realize that a public health crisis, they would be trying to get as much information out as possible by removing barriers to entry and not making you download it.
And when it comes to malware, the most terrifying malware is industrial malware, because it can make things explode and you might be in the radius. And what has a pretty big radius? Gas pipelines.
Ransomware attack forces a 2-day shutdown of a natural gas pipeline. So this is a ransomware. This is a report from the Department of Homeland Security. They didn't actually specify where it is, and the reporter couldn't figure out where it is. They said that the hackers got control of like the internal IT network, and then they pivoted to the control network where like the pipeline control systems are, but it was taken offline before any damage could really be done. But they had to, you know, wipe and reload, and it was a little bit of a mess.
Yep. And it's 2 days. You got to think, how many gallons move through a pipeline in 2 days?
At least 3.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah. Very unfortunate. And, I don't know if they paid the ransom or if they just went to backups, but they got all of the desktops and stuff in the management of the IT sector. So, sad. If gas prices go up, you can blame the hackers. The big thing about, is the catchphrase for Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, is that still true?
Yep. Yes.
Well, guess what?
Guess what didn't stay in Vegas?
Personally identifying information.
Details of the 10.6 million person MGM hotel guests posted on a hacking forum. So this actually happened last summer, and MGM dealt with it sort of quietly and notified all the guests, but now the database has been leaked publicly. It doesn't include the payment card information or passwords or anything like that, but it does include your name and address.
And there was a lot of celebrities in it, because
MGM.
Yeah, MGM's like, hey, come and stay with us because you're a celebrity. And people took him up on that, and now we know. Unfortunate. Ring. We've talked about Ring a lot. This is one of the first weeks in a long time that we haven't had a negative Ring story.
Well, this one, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, this one's not. This is not negative. I don't know if we can classify this as negative. Maybe false positive, but yeah. Not negative.
Yeah.
Anyway. They are, this is a PR stunt.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's what I was. Ring to tighten privacy amid concerns it shares customer data with Facebook and Google. Ring, an online camera doorbell thing, literally designed to upload all of that data immediately to the internet, is going to tighten privacy because people were sort of critical of the fact that, hey, it's just immediately using Google and Facebook. Like, why are you sending our data? Why?
It's one ring to bind them all.
Yeah.
In the darkness. Yeah.
Now, the quote is that you can opt out of most of the data tracking.
Oh, there it is.
So,
just like Frodo did.
What do they consider, what is mission critical tracking to them?
Listen, that's the big question. You may have given money for this ring, but it does not belong to you. It is not beholden to you. It does not obey you.
It hears its master's call. just saying, Jeff Bezos should play Sauron in the new...
He just doesn't have time.
No, he needs to do it. Annatar, Lord of Gifts, has a ring. I mean, the story writes itself.
You know what's funny is if Jeff Bezos played one of the worst villains in literary history, it would probably make him more popular with the public.
It probably would.
Well, into the design section. Krista, the new Windows 10 icons, we have just a tiny, tiny glimpse of them. What do you think?
They're so small.
Oh, in the linked article, there's a bigger picture of the new mail icon.
This one?
Yep.
Oh, click.
And scroll down. Keep going.
Same so picture. Small.
No, there's it's there somewhere. It might have been the other link.
Oh.
Whee!
Oh! This is what I hate about the new Chrome. They moved the reopen close tab over. You can't click on one of the tabs.
Now go back. And then do the other link.
I hate that.
It's like, it looks, it's not skeuomorphic. Is that?
But these are the office icons. We've already seen these.
Yeah, we had already seen these. Where are the new ones?
There was a link there that had the new mail icon, and it was like a dimensional blue.
A dimensional
maybe
blue.
Maybe it's this one.
Yeah, right there. It's all the way on the right.
Okay, okay.
So 2015 is where we are now, and 2020 is the new one.
I think those are fine. Definitely, like, following the trend of, like, you know.
Look at this departure.
We're not quite, like, skeuomorphic, but we, like, everyone's kind of moving away from the simple one-color icons as well.
So, yeah.
It's on trend.
You can kind of see the rest of them up there. It doesn't seem like it's really all that groundbreaking.
Icon designs usually aren't, but.
What can you do? But one design that is definitely not a move in the right direction. It's the Ontario license plate.
It's Ontario.
Ontario. Yeah, it is Ontario.
Hey,
Ontario.
Listen. You say potato.
I say things wrong all the time. Ontario's new license plates have a problem. You can't read them. So this is like a white on blue color scheme, and you can kind of see it during the day, but not at night.
I almost think this is more of a, like a, I guess maybe the designer probably should have known this, but like this is a production issue. Because when they did the mock-up, obviously, like you can read that. It's white text on dark blue. The thing that they didn't consider was that the license plate is luminescent. So, like, at night, it lights up, and then you can't read it.
They compare it to Q-tips.
It does kind of look like Q-tips from a distance.
A little bit.
You know what the most pathetic part about this license plate is? That. Look.
Ooh.
Your subjects. This, they have a great video.
Didn't Harry and Meghan move here so, you know, they could...
Yeah. Like, oh, we can see the thing. Oh,
so if a headlights hit it.
Oh, invisible.
That's last year's.
It's that luminescence is what causes the issue. Which I feel like, I mean, I've never designed anything like for that type of metal, but like, I feel like that would have come up pretty quick. How long did it take for them to realize in the production run to be like, oh no?
Yeah, could be some testing. I would think would go into it.
Yeah,
lighting conditions and maybe some snow and salt.
Just the salt cannon just...
Yeah.
Can I still read this? No. So do you think crimes have just gone up 100% in Ontario?
It's but the only perfect at night? Crime.
How do you think license plate reader cameras deal with that?
They probably can't.
Ooh.
At night.
Maybe they've accidentally done something good for privacy.
You think it's like the Death Star? It's like where it's like, oh, the engineer guy had... It's like, oh, that's an exhaust port only 2 meters wide. Nobody's ever going to catch this. It's like, yes, the rebels can use this to destroy the Death Star. There's somebody like that inside Ontario's license plate design division. And he's like, ah, yes, I've put an end to the license plate recognition scourge.
I'm imagining it was probably a mistake, but I like your version better.
Yeah, and I would say probably what's going to happen is they're going to have to get reprinted at the taxpayer's dollar.
Yeah.
Still, whoever did that is going to be executed, like in Star Wars. So, I mean, there is at least that similarity.
Does the Queen execute you herself?
I don't think Canada has the death penalty.
That's why Harry and Meghan went back. Like, we have to kill this designer who messed up on this.
The services will no longer be required.
That's what they said in the Swing the Sword.
You'll never work in this country again.
In this sector.
Well, one of my big college memories was Jägermeister.
That we is drank the white trash drink of
we
choice.
We drank a lot of Jägermeister in college. I felt like the cough syrup flavor really masked the alcohol.
No, the big thing when I worked in a liquor store was people would buy Jäger and Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah. Energy drinks weren't that big of a thing when we were in college. And I'd always hated those anyway, so I just did my Jägermeister straight. One of my friends bought a one of those coolers where you screw the bottle down into the cooler and you get ice cold Jägermeister on tap. That wasn't a good purchase. That was a stupid purchase. But anyway, if you are familiar with the bottle, it's a deer with a little cross on top of it, which raised some concerns.
Jägermeister logo does not offend Christians, according to a Swiss court.
Christian here. I'm not really offended.
Well, I don't understand how it would be offensive, because the story I learned from reading this article, I didn't know Jägermeister facts. The guy who it's named after, or maybe a saint, I don't know if he was involved in the creation, I think he was long dead, he apparently saw a stag with a cross and its antlers and converted to Christianity.
Kind of like the reverse Eye of Sauron.
Nope. There's no lore connection there.
I don't really see the connection. Because
it's
there
like,
at all.
You know, between the.
No, there's no lore connection.
But here's the craziest part.
I would know.
The reason they're having this whole argument is because Jägermeister is branching out into mobile phones.
Oh, burner phones, so you can go partying.
Party phones?
Yeah.
Mobile phones, cosmetics.
Now, cosmetics makes sense to me.
Telecommunication services.
Cosmetics makes sense because I could see it's like, get ready for your party. You know, drink your Jägermeister and also use your Jägermeister eyeshadow.
We're going to have so many stories about Jäger Grinder. It's going to be amazing.
Jäger Grinder?
Their social telecommunications app.
Oh.
A lot of terrible decisions were made mixing.
Oh, so Jägermeister is going to have a gay dating app? Is that where you're going with it? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, what's the Jäger Grinder?
It's only for gay deer. Gay Christian deer.
It's a small market.
But niche. Very sexual. Krista, you have a puppy.
I do.
Who is now a full-grown dog.
She is a full-grown dog. And we still call her a baby puppy.
You will outlive her.
Yes. Well, but, let's hope.
Well, coronavirus. Know, but when the time comes, what if you could have a perfect copy of Little Roo?
I wouldn't do that because I don't think that that's possible. You can't recreate the experiences that made the dog the dog.
But you could have the same genetic dog.
I could. And I could have her little white-capped tail back.
That's true.
Pre-amputation.
Roo, too, would have a functional tail.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to cost you $60,000.
You know, that's worth it. I don't need a house.
But
I don't need a, you know, homestead.
But hang on.
There's a
darker side to it as well.
People are killing puppy clones that don't come out perfect. Some people have more money than sense.
Well, you could actually clone Roo and then just harvest the tip of the tail from the clone.
And then take, can you imagine going to the vet and being like, I want you to amputate this dog's tail and put it on mine.
You know she would chew it off.
Yeah.
She would, yeah. It was such a pain. I hope I never have to put Roo in a cone ever again.
Now here's the question. I don't know if they answered it in this article because I didn't get to read this one. Is that another 60? If you kill that one, or do you get a do-over?
So the guy in the article, he got two for the price of one. So he got two clones.
A twofer.
But it took a few tries.
Wow.
What if you were like, you know what? I don't have time to wait around. I'm getting old. Let's just do six, and I'll pick the best one.
This makes me so angry because there's so many dogs that
need
homes.
I think they just do six. And, well, they talk about how even though there were a total of four clones, a female pair of twins and a male pair of twins. And
You can get a different gender for your clone?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, well, not the clone, but like, I guess whatever the source dog was, because there were multiple sets of clones because that guy was a dog enthusiast. And the variation, even though the dogs were genetically similar, the article author noticed that one dog was very loving and another one was, you know, sort of apprehensive. But they were the same genetic dog, and their appearance is a little different, and just some other minor variation.
It's almost like it depends on how you train them.
Well, it's the whole nature versus nurture thing.
Yeah.
So, that's great. You take the loving one, and you get rid of the other one.
Hmm. That's what they were saying.
And you let the loving one see that, so they're like, whoa, I better stay in line.
No, I would not clone. Would you clone your cats?
No, my cats are terrible. I got the shock mat. And I got to say, of course, I tested it on myself, and it's really not very powerful. I wish I would have started electrocuting my cats a long time ago.
What? Did you put it on your kitchen counter to keep them off of it? Or?
Right. It's on the table right now. It's been on the kitchen counter all week. And I haven't ever seen them get hit by it, but one of the bottles that was up there was turned over. So somebody exited in a hurry. We are in the era of woke culture, and it seems like companies are just climbing all over themselves to find ways to signal that they are with this hip new generation, and Google is no exception. Now, we know how evil Google is. Do you think they care at all about this, or is this just pure PR?
This is just PR. Google AI no longer uses gender binary tags on images of people. It just refers to them as person. Pants, shoe, glasses, computer monitor, top, computer keyboard. I wonder what top refers to.
I think that's the
her
shirt.
Her outfit, yeah. Mm. She's not wearing a dress. She's wearing a top.
So, yeah. And they cite the rules. It's like, you know, man and woman is not a visual thing anymore. And you can't decide. Only
I wonder
the person.
If this is more just like, all right, I can't figure it out anymore.
No, previously they would choose man and woman based on the...
So no, I'm saying like people are dressing so bizarre anymore, like the AI can't tell. So it's misidentifying. So instead of just trying to figure out how to identify it, they're just like, just put person.
We missed an incredible opportunity to have the AI analyze 80s rock music videos.
Those hairstyles. I'm glad there are no pictures of me.
Did you have one?
No. Oh. I was too young. Well, I did. I had like the spiky hair when I was really young.
Did you have the frosted tips?
No. My parents weren't going to pay. Listen, I went to a barber, not a hairstylist. Haircuts back in our day were like $4.
I mean, they're still cheap in some places, but you could have gotten some frosted tips.
You're not going to get sub $10 in most places.
Yeah.
Frosted tips? Girl haircuts are expensive.
Yeah, well, all haircuts can be expensive if you go to the right place.
Yeah.
Pigeons. We have had a lot of stories about pigeons, oddly enough.
We have a follow-up.
And recently, first it was it cowboy hats first?
It was cowboy hats first.
And then what was the next one? I don't remember what this
was.
Was
it top hats? There's lots of...
No, sombreros.
Sombreros,
there was sombreros
right.
Next. So obviously, somebody had to take that idea and take it one step further. Just in time for the big primary election caucus.
Pigeon Group, PUTIN, releases birds wearing MAGA hats and Trump wigs. And there are pictures.
Oh. Make America great again.
So, yeah, it's it's Putin, but that's the acronym.
But it's an acronym.
Like,
we're
Pigeons United. Go scroll up. Pigeons United to interfere now.
So they're, it's tongue in cheek. Now the real star of the show.
Oh, look, yeah, here he is.
Was this guy.
So they're using eyelash glue, which God, apparently great. Is humane, but is it really?
I mean, so having used eyelash glue, it does go away eventually, but it's not fun to try and, like, rip off
now,
that crap.
The other thing about these guys that maybe puts them a peg above whoever did the cowboy and sombreros are they brought their own pigeons. And these are trained pigeons, so they just release them during the day, and they come back at night.
So right. They can take them off, then, right. Like, and make sure that all the glue comes off.
But the animal rights people say that it's still not right. You still shouldn't do it.
But look how good he looks. Look how happy he
looks.
He
looks amazing.
I feel better about chuckling about this one.
I gotta say,
this one, since this one, like, we know they get taken off.
This guy is wearing that way better than Trump ever has. Can we agree on that?
Somebody needs to side-by-side this with the golf outing shot where, like, the wind is caught in the hair.
We need just... to, like, you need to self-tanner on now. That's the next step.
Yeah, he looks good. I still want somebody to study these and see if other pigeons avoid them or are attracted to them because of their awesome hats.
That would be very interesting. I wish the pigeons outside our office would be wearing hats.
Well, listen, we can make that a reality. Get some traps.
They won't get caught by me. They don't come to my windowsill anymore because there's a dead bat out there.
Another bat?
Just the same one. He's just degrading out on the
windowsill. It should have blown away by now.
No, he's still there.
He's probably glued to the, you know, his viscera has hardened. Now, Krista, it is well known that you love cereal.
I do love cereal.
Maybe a little much.
We don't have any in our house right now. It's bothering me.
Now, you buy the bag cereal. We know that about you.
Yes, I do. Not all the time, but
you're cheap when it comes to cereal.
Yes.
So how does this headline make you feel?
It makes me angry. General Mills looks to revive cereal sales by charging $13 a box.
Now,
that's too much.
I learned I learned something else new from this article, too, which was $13 is what General Mills is charging, like, Walmart and the grocers. The grocers are going to sell it for $26 a box.
That's ridiculous, because cereal here, like, you can get box cereal, like Special K is like $3 or $4.
Well, the number one ingredient in this cereal is almonds.
But you can get the $13 at the price clubs, like Costco.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you get like the...
Right, the big box, yeah.
Is this big boxes? Because that makes more sense. But even like little boxes of Special K are almost $3.
These will be standard-sized boxes. Now, this will be made up of dried cherries, cranberries, pumpkin seeds, whole grain cereal
flakes. Oh,
these are
like fancy cereals.
Yeah, this is like super good for you. Like Wendell said, instead of, you know, corn or rice or whatever being the number one ingredient is almonds.
Almonds are expensive. I like to buy granola with almonds in it, and it costs a lot for a little bag.
Now, if you tried this and it was the greatest cereal that you've ever had, would you pay $13 for a box of it?
Probably not.
Maybe rarely. I'll probably get a box for the Twitch stream, and like we can all have a bowl on the Twitch stream, but I don't know if I would commit to buying it on a kind of regular basis.
Yeah, now, it's too expensive.
Let's keep in mind that the two of you have regularly been paying $1.50 plus for cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an impulse buy, though. That's a little different.
That's like I come in and I'm like, you know what? I could go for some cookies. Like,
when is that not true?
They're really good. Well, there's an Insomnia cookies near our office now. It's really good.
Bitcoin is sort of languishing right around that $10,000 mark. Who knows? But we're coming up on the halvening. So, maybe gamble. And it is still the number one choice for online drug dealers.
But do you think they advertised that on the website?
Well, that one guy did. Huh. That's what got him caught.
Number one.
And the thing about it is, if you don't really understand how Bitcoin works, you might not take the necessary precautions with your drug-fueled Bitcoin hoard.
Drug dealer loses the codes for 53.6 million in Bitcoin accounts. So what he had done was, he was a small-time dealer from the sound of it. He just had these coins forever, 6,000 Bitcoins.
Is $53 million small-time?
No, this is from like 2010. So this is just like super, super old.
Oh, that's right. He got in when it was low, yeah.
He split up his hoard into 12 different wallets, I guess, and put the codes for it in an aluminum fishing pole, like in the handle or in the case or something. And when he was incarcerated, his apartment, he was evicted, and all of his stuff was disposed of, and nobody has any idea where the fishing pole is.
Oh, they know, because he went to the dump, and he was like, listen, I will dig through every piece of this to find that. It's $53 million. And they were like, it's in China in an incinerator.
You might want to take one of these, and they hand him a face mask.
So the ownership of those Bitcoins, if you can call it that, you know, the illegal ownership is with the law enforcement organization, and they're hoping to use a supercomputer at some point to try and crack the passwords.
It's gone forever now.
Yeah, I think it's gone forever. And that is maybe one of the negative things about cryptocurrency is that huge chunks of it are just out of circulation for who knows how long. Maybe that's a good thing, though.
It's even more deflation.
Yeah, it's the opposite of inflation, for sure. Well, photography is a fun pastime, and sometimes you might be sort of... you want to go the extra mile. You know those people who take selfies on top of bridges or next to tigers or whatever? You might engage in risky behavior to get a good shot. And sometimes that'll come back to bite you.
Your followers will love it.
Bay Area photographer facing action after taking photo of Golden Gate Bridge from quote-unquote illegal angle.
Let's look at that photo.
So this is a guy who's been caught trespassing before, and they're saying there's no way you could have got this shot of the Golden Gate Bridge and not have been trespassing. Therefore, we own the rights to this image, which is kind of dubious. I don't think that'll play out for them. But the photographer that took this is destitute, so who knows?
He's also a recovering addict. And he was like, listen, photography is what I used to replace drugs. Don't take this away from me. But he also admitted that he has a previous trespassing conviction because he was trying to get pictures and private property. The blood moon here?
Chopped.
Superimposed.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. Also, this robe or dress or whatever is $660.
Cheap. Wow. Easy. Let's buy five. Also, people, like, the whole superimposing, like, moon and star stuff, I hate that in photography. People do that with, like, local photography of, like, waterfalls and stuff around here, and I'm like, I know those stars aren't around here, because I've been there. But it's like, why would you do that?
Well, the stars could change.
But they're not, like, bright purple. The sky is not bright purple behind the waterfall that shot that you took during the day. It's a weird trend.
I get that. I see why people do that.
I mean, it's pretty sharp, but it's weird. Anyway.
Speaking of forbidden photography, it seems like a fun new trend to do. It's like the old traditional scripted pornography. That's out. It's all about like reality style pornography. And what better place to film that than your local library?
Adult film shot at Santa Monica Public Library during business hours sparks outrage.
So this was posted on Facebook, probably by the people that shot it, and everybody just lost their minds.
That is kind of annoying, like if you're using the library for its intended purpose.
I thought they had
a picture of the people.
No, they have like part of the video where she's just walking. Oh yeah, here we go. So like, she's just outside. And she walks into the library, and then I assume there's a sex act. It doesn't show that part, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't just on Facebook. This was on a
pay-per-click
porn site. Yeah. So they're making money off of using the library as a filming location. Isn't there a thing with pornography where you have to register
yeah.
a location and like everybody's...
Probably make sure it's safe and it's clean and not disgusting.
And like, everybody's age, and that all has to be filed somewhere?
Well, that's the thing is like... Wherever they're doing that stuff, it's like, where's the other section where it's like, oh, there's a group of kids listening to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think...
The Hungry Caterpillar.
The whole point of the video is like, oh, we have to be quiet. You know, we have to be sneaky. And they probably scoped it out. But there is no way that you could be sure that no one would walk into that.
Yeah. It's like people, you know, everyone pays for that. Everyone should be able to use it without.
And also, I mean, there's chances that books will be contaminated.
Yeah. And then, you know, you check that out and then you have coronavirus.
No, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
We shouldn't be inflicting our sexuality onto others, even if it's heterosexuality. That's what you got to remember as a heterosexual.
It's a public space that everyone pays for.
Exactly.
Like, let's keep it clean.
At risk. I don't think any of us were considered at risk.
No.
We were at risk youth? For social interaction.
Yeah, I stayed in my basement and just drew pictures the entire time.
In terms of, like, drugs and, you know, violence, we were fine. Nobody was worried about us. But they are worried about a lot of people, and they have programs that they put them into to try and prevent that because they are at risk. But, of course, in the new woke culture, that's not allowed.
The term at-risk youth is replaced with at-promise youth in California Penal Code.
Which doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
What does at-promise mean?
There's definitely, like, I guess more normal children are definitely people that have promise. And these may or may not have promise.
I don't understand. If you actually are a child with a promising future, whether you've put in the work or whatever, and it's like, what? It's just confusing. Like, it doesn't make sense.
But
and at risk is also, like, I feel like it's descriptive without being mean.
George Carlin would be losing his mind right now.
But, like, let's say the Bezos children. They have a promising future. They are at promise. I don't think we can confuse them with the children of a crackhead. Now, that child can't be blamed for their situation in life, for sure. But is it really a stigma? How about we just especially, not label them?
Well, I mean, I would assume, like, if you're doing some sort of program, it needs to be a label so that way they can get their funding, right?
Are you in our comments? Were you an at-risk youth? How did it turn out?
Maybe just don't tell the kids that they're an at-risk youth. I don't know. It's a crazy situation.
Just, you think I'm at risk? Oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. It's like, oh, no, it works.
I'll sell drugs.
I'm going to be successful.
What if they have that, you know, like, rebellious nature to the promising? It's like, I'll never be promising. Don't tell me what to do.
That might be a thing.
Probably is, though it's probably not to that extent. Like, okay, anyway.
Now, Krista, of the people at this table, you are most certainly the one to have most recently pooped outdoors.
Yes.
So, how do you feel about this amazing gentleman?
I don't understand how this saves nature, but this man has been pooping outdoors for 45 years in order to save nature. But hashtag leave no trace principles say that, you know, you're supposed to bury your poop. And in alpine areas, you might have to take a wag bag.
Oh, he does. And perhaps this will tell you more about why he does that.
That's very small to me.
He is a mushroom and moss photographer.
So he shits so stuff will grow on it?
That's the theory.
He claims that, you know, he understands, like, he was looking at his own consumption and stuff, and he was like, well, I understand meat because we're meant to eat meat, and I didn't change that about myself. But when I looked at my bathroom habits, I couldn't, you know, like, make that work in my mind. I should be pooping outdoors. And he claims that he has pooped indoors, was it 12 times? 14 times versus 15,000.
Who counts that?
This guy. Well, two a day, 365 days a year. For that many years, well, it works out, right?
Where is he pooping on his own land?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's different.
And burying it. And he says that a few days after he covered a makeshift toilet with earth, its contents start teeming with life.
They do break down. I think they've done studies, like, at least in the eastern U.S. where it's, like, moist enough. I think it breaks down after, like, 2 weeks, up to a month.
The thing that I question, and I don't know what the climate's like where he lives, but isn't most of Japan, like, four seasons? Mm-hmm. On a really rough winter night, he never broke down and just pooped in a bucket?
That was number two.
No, you poop it in a bucket, but you still go take it out and bury it.
That's not pooping outside.
That's true, it's not. Well, didn't he say he had exceptions?
14 times.
14? Well, I figured that was when he was out in public.
Well, maybe he just doesn't poop at night.
I'll hold it for 2 days until I get home.
Well, a brisk morning would be just as bad.
Yeah.
Is he timing it every day at noon?
Maybe he has a coffee drinking schedule, and it's very in tuned to make sure that he poops at certain times of the day.
There's got to be more than 14 times where you have, like, you know, a sour stomach.
Over that period of time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here in Kentucky, we don't get a lot of tech headlines, for sure. When we do, they're usually embarrassing. And this one is, I don't know if it's embarrassing, but it is stupid. I wish they would do away with this stupid program. If you have these, I hate you.
Kentucky must pay $150,000 for denying man's I'm God license plates. The reason? Because they granted other license plates that involved God the world God. Yeah.
It was...
Except that license plate says Ohio. I assume that's the one he had before.
I'm not sure why.
Why is Kentucky being implicated in this Ohio nonsense?
I think he may have moved to Kentucky after getting this one.
Oh, okay.
So they approved God Loves, Try God, I God, which, what is that?
And Instagram No God. God?
You would think if No God gets through, then I'm God would get through.
I would think. It probably just depends. He probably went to, like, the most rural county he could find. And
I got
to
think back to the county clerk that wouldn't do the gay marriage certificates.
Yeah.
So he probably came up against somebody like that.
Yeah. The $150K also was just for the lawyers, so this wasn't any personal windfall.
Nothing punitive. They ruled on his behalf. He does get his license plate, and somehow he racked up $110,000 in lawyer fees.
It's cutting off your nose despite your face. I just don't understand it.
Let's just not have personalized license plates. Oh, gosh, they're just infuriating.
I'd like to point out that RE is available in Kentucky.
How many E's?
I can't remember. My husband looked it up.
Maybe one exception. We were talking about what story were we talking about earlier when you talked about using the animals for surveillance? But actually, I'm sure you read this. That might be a thing. What is, so they point out that sonar is what you use underwater, but it's bulky and expensive, and because it sends out a ping, your enemies know that the sonar is there. So what is the solution?
Military tries out fish as underwater spies. No, this is not a repeat from the 70s or 80s or 90s. This is a new take on using fish as underwater spies.
Is that a Goliath grouper?
That is a Goliath grouper, Krista. Wow. I would say that you read the subheading there, but I know that that's not possible.
No, but no, he's a big old boy. Those exist off the coast here in the U.S.
So the cool thing about the Goliath grouper, because it's so big. How many tons did they say those things could
weigh?
They can
get
500
really
pounds?
Big. Yeah. Jeremy Wade caught one in River Monsters.
When you disturb them, they make a really loud, like, bass booming sound. And that's one of the things these guys were looking to try to track.
So we're just going to release hundreds and hundreds of these around where there might be submarines in order to see if they're disturbed.
Also, there's a kind of shrimp. I can't remember what the name of the shrimp was. But they apparently make a horrible popping sound all the time. But if you bother them, it's kind of like, you know, the frogs when they're out there and they're croaking. But if you disturb the area around them, they all go silent.
Yeah.
So, like, if a sub comes by, the popcorn shrimp might stop popping.
The
forbidden, that's actually really
we
cool.
We already used the title, The Forbidden Popcorn Shrimp, though.
We did.
Or it was Forbidden Popcorn Chicken, I guess.
We could do something like The Never-Ending Cry of the Popcorn Shrimp. But so the question becomes, okay, we understand that these guys do that and they listen to each other. How are we going to incorporate that? How are we going to listen to them? And these guys were like, oh, we're still working on that.
But isn't it cool? Look at this fish. He's so big. He's so fat.
We're going to open up Torpedo Bay number 3 where they were just packed to the gills in there. They just go out. And then we listen for what happens.
Snapping shrimp.
I love Goliath groupers. They're so cool.
800 pounds.
Yeah, they're big old boys.
Can you imagine?
They're one of the biggest fish.
They also have a bioluminescent fish they're looking at trying to, like, watch them to see what happens. So, watch out for the fish. They're spying on you. It's been a while since we've heard about the holograms. Now, Tupac, was it 2012 they did the Tupac?
Oh, I don't remember.
Then
that
was
a long time ago.
They did a Snoop Dogg hologram, which is weird because he's still alive. But it wasn't great. The Tupac hologram was kind of glitchy, and you could sort of see the screen that it was bouncing off of.
Little Max headroom.
Yeah, it wasn't amazing, but it seems like they've made amazing advances in the holographic world.
In the spirit of Whitney Houston hologram, tour set to begin. So Whitney Houston, she died some time ago. If that's news to you, I'm sorry. But her hologram.
Somebody's got a Whitney album on. They're like, no.
I think one of her kids is dead too.
You know, the thing about Whitney Houston, if you hear stories about her, is that she was hardcore street, like real thug. Because she was so elegant, and that voice was so amazing, and she was always dressed up like this on stage, and she just, you know, like, such a lovely lady. But no, apparently it was some hard street action when you were messing with Whitney, and thus the drug overdoses.
Who is getting the money from this tour is the question. Because, like I said, I think her daughter passed away recently.
It's one of the children, the person who's still running the estate, and it's one of her descendants somewhere along the line. And they said, yeah, now's the time. And
right now.
So they're actually for the... She did an unplugged tour as her last tour. So they have isolated...
Her vocals.
Vocals from that. So what they're doing is they're taking the album vocals, which are also isolated in the studio, and mixing them with the unplugged vocals so that it's not exactly like the album, and sometimes she'll go off of the album script. So it seems more live.
How weird is that got to be, like, as an artist, knowing that you'll live on forever as a hologram?
This opens up a lot of possibilities. We can use deepfakes.
You're never going to lose Weird Al, Wendell.
Well, we can use deepfakes to recreate John Candy, and we can have John Candy play every role in Lord of the Rings.
No, it's gonna be Jeff Bezos is Sauron. What,
is he just like? How's that going to work with the hobbits? Because they're supposed to be
they're
small.
They're going to use that camera trickery.
It's just the face.
What about Gollum?
Deep face.
A naked John Candy. A tiny naked John Candy.
I think it would be great.
You got to be the only person who thinks that's great.
I mean, they did the Ron Swanson Full House. I mean, surely that can't be that much of an ask.
Here in the bluegrass, we have something known as the opioid crisis. And that's where everybody's on pills, and then they crack down on pills, and then everybody gets on heroin. And then they crack down on heroin, and then everybody gets on fentanyl.
I was going to say Narcan, but...
And then everybody dies.
Yeah. So it seems like our neighbors to the north understand that cycle of violence and asset forfeiture, and they've decided to tackle it in a different way.
Opioid vending machines open in Vancouver. So MySafe scheme addicts aims to help reduce overdose deaths in the Canadian city. Now, I remember covering this in a parallel timeline.
No, neither me nor Ryan remember that.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I could easily have forgotten it.
It was the guy that was like a... He had a regular day job, and he's like, oh, yeah, this gives me some options because I went through all this horribleness, and I was fighting the addiction, and now I've got a prescription for going here and getting my stuff.
So this thing to fight, like, you know, selling it and trafficking and stuff like that, it gives you one dose at a time based on your fingerprint. So three times a day, this guy goes to this machine and gets his three oxycodone. And that keeps him from going into withdrawals.
It also keeps
So what you're telling me is I need
something.
To cut off that guy's finger.
It has to be alive, Kristen. Fingerprint readers
so
have gotten that sophisticated.
We need to
Why do you know that?
Chloroform that guy. Drag him there. But then you have to keep taking him back every time. It's just not... I mean, for three pills, it's not worth the effort. So I get it. Although, if you put... Now, here's the thing about it. That machine is just packed with delicious, delicious oxycodone.
I can't help but notice that it's concreted to the floor and next to a brick wall.
I don't think that would stop them.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
We had to steal a backhoe, but we got it.
Isn't that a thing in Breaking Bad? They stole that ATM?
Yeah.
I like how...
Ain't no skank.
It's a very common story. If you go back and look at the newspapers from rural Kentucky, that was probably true all over the world. At some point around like 2010, all the pill heads figured out all at once, hey, you know, they put up bars on the doors and the windows, but the roof, they didn't do anything with the roof. And there's a huge, like everywhere, they were drilling through the roofs on pharmacies and just wiping them out. So now pharmacies have to have extra roof protection. What a wonderful world we live in. Maybe Corona Chan isn't wrong. And one man who had a dream. Now, some of you out there, you might think, hey, I've got so many people in my life telling me that I shouldn't follow my dreams. And let me tell you that you're wrong. Just like Mike Hughes, always follow your dreams no matter what.
Daredevil Mad Mike Hughes has died while attempting to launch a homemade rocket. So
he died doing what he loved.
It was very similar to the last rocket launch, except his parachute malfunctioned and opened during the launch or something. And so he did not have the parachute to soften his landing. And so he died on impact in the landing in the middle of the desert. So he was building these rockets to prove that the Earth is flat. And the people that are into flat Earths are going to say that he was killed to silence the truth, probably.
Who knows?
What a strange thing. It's sad that he's died.
In some ways it almost feels inevitable. Because this was not his first launch. I don't think this was his second launch, was it?
Mm.
He's been doing this for a while, and he just kept upping the ante.
Obviously an experienced rocketeer making a mistake like that. It was clearly the Illuminati silencing him.
Well, when we look at a company like SpaceX, and... the billions of dollars that they have and the massive, massive bench of PhDs and brilliant people working on those rockets. And they still blow up once in a while.
Look at that picture. He's got two kinds of hammer.
Let's see if there's any.
I like that he's just banging on it with both hands.
Do you know how fancy...
Oh, hey, I didn't see you there.
How fancy he has to be to have two kinds of hammers? Yeah, you can't. You just...
Oh, there it goes.
Yeah. That's not the death rocket, is it?
Oh, the little puff there, that was his parachute.
Are we sure? I didn't watch the video. Yeah, I don't know if we should watch.
That little... Yeah, that was his...
I don't know if they got the moment of impact. He definitely died on impact.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good.
That's the end of Mike's... thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Oh, the Science Channel was there recording it, too. I forgot.
Yikes.
The Science Channel.
Well, the Science Channel is behind this assassination. Now,
do you go forward with that series?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be the
highest rated thing in national TV. But you do, like, a two-hour special instead of just, like...
It may be macabre, but it's going to be the highest ratings that the Science Channel has ever had.
Who gets the rocket?
What's left of the rocket? It's probably going to go to a museum somewhere.
What museum?
Flat Earth Museum? It's proof. Our Savior died proving it.
Well, listen, if you are a Flat Earther, I give you this challenge. Don't let Mike's sacrifice go to waste. Pick up where he left off. We need to get all of you in rockets.
And with that, we'll see you next week.
Enjoy your leap year.